Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Devil can't touch this, he's pantomiming. He is a liar, so said the lion Judah. Shelter in my protector, running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool homer.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Y'all with me today?
Shalom, shalom, man.
I'm glad y'all up in here, man. Glad the eye appointment went somewhat good, man. The water for fighting through, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, continue to bless us. I'm kind of needing you. This was going to be a good one, but I need you as best you can, you know what I'm saying? The water for reading for us, man, and, you know, always bringing that input that helps, you know, build on this. And I know three of us, I wasn't sure how my voice sounded because I used the headphones, so that I would kind of drown out the outside noise, you know.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure I wanted to make sure that I was heard clearly.
Well, loud and clear, loud and clear.
Perfect, 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 man. So, not a lot going on, but a lot has been going on. You know what I'm saying? A lot of good understanding has been coming out. You know, the classes that have been taught, and we thank everybody that's joining us for another edition of Blog Talk Radio. You know what I'm saying? It's Friday night, so me, Mashaba, and Gabar, so always try to get it in together, man, and host a good, you know, just a good class, you know, for all those that are sitting at home and might not be able to get to class. We don't like that. We would make this an excuse not to get to class, because the scriptures too tell us to gather ourselves together, you know what I'm saying, O nation, not desire. So, you know, it's better to see faces in class together, learning about the Most High and feeling the Spirit, but we'll take what we can get right now. We'll keep doing the work, and hopefully we bring those classes that inspire those questions, and they inspire that unity of us, not just doing it from the comfort of your home, but actually sitting amongst each other and working together. That's what we should be inspiring to do more of, you know what I'm saying? So that we can now grow and keep doing more of this work. And some of what this class is about the fact that, you know, what is going to be required for us to go ahead and grow, to be more abundant, to be able to grow forth and to do more to honor the Most High. And I know, in fact, that's how I spoke to Mashaba a little. We've been talking on it. Gabar, we talked, not to say extensively, but we got a good conversation in. And Gabar, a lot of what we talked about today did inspire some of the things I thought about in putting the class together. So let's go here, man. I want to go to Matthew. All right, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, right? 13, and we're just going to go into it, man. We started starting verse 1, and the chapter talks about, you know, Christ teaching the multitude, and he would give them the parable of the sower. And there were certain key things that I wanted to be able to point out in this, because a lot of it had to do with a person's understanding. And I think the key thing that I wanted to focus on too was some of the things that if we were humble enough to receive understanding, then Christ really could open up to show, and we really could grow in understanding. But a lot of our problems is the fact that we lack understanding. So I want to go here, build off this, and then, Mashaba, you know, the floor is always open for you, man, Gabar. The floor is always open for that help, man. So we're going to start there, Matthew chapter 13, and Gabar, start in verse 1, okay?
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Read. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside.
And you want to go through?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Gabar. Keep rolling, man. Just keep rolling, okay? Hello? I think his phone went out. Let me go ahead and read while I'm here, man. It says, the same day Yahushua went out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude that you were. Okay, I think you dropped. I think we dropped. You merged in, brother. You merged in now. You there?
Huh.
Okay, read verse 2. A great multitude.
I got Michelle on the other one calling in.
Go ahead. Click him in. A great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Shall we go? There you go. Shall we go?
Come. Good boy, you there?
Good boy, sir. I see good boy. Hold on. He's on hold. I got him. Good boy, you there?
Hold on.
Let me do this. Let me drop him real quick. Let him call back. Shall we go?
I'm here.
Okay. The bars went on a hold, so let me see if I can get it back on there.
Good to go.
Okay, I think I'll fix it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. I love this one. Woo, appreciate you.
Time.
Okay, let's fix this where we're at, man. The part that we were reading was the parable of
Matthew chapter 13.
Now, I want you to read through to 9. No interruptions. I want you to read through all the way to 9, okay? Go ahead.
Fine. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1 reads, The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Mm-hmm. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into a good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear.
We read through, and there was a deepness to what was being read. But you had to be a disciple. You had to be somebody that really had some understanding to what that meant. And when Christ was speaking to the apostles, they had to go back and speak to the disciples now. They wondered, why do you speak to them in parables? Why is it that you're not coming with the same deepness that you would explain to us? And Christ's answer is what got me. His answer, as we're going to read, was because they wouldn't. This is what they want to hear. They're here, but they're not here for it. There is an understanding I want to give, but they're not open for the understanding. And this is a problem that a lot of us fall into. We're in the Bible, we're in class, we're doing it, but that deeper understanding, we're not open for that deeper understanding. But we're going to read, how do you know that a person is not open for that deeper, come on, man. You're not open for that deeper understanding. I know what you're doing. Stop. Well, let me change rooms real quick, you guys. That's the curse of having kids, man. It gets loud up in there. You all there?
It's loud and clear, time.
Gabar, that's what we'll look at. What is that? Keep reading now. Let me just go on into it. Keep reading.
All right. Matthew
five upstairs.
Chapter 13 and verse 10 reads, And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Uh-huh.
He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
And I like the part we're reading here, Gabar. He said it was given unto us. It was given to the disciples. We got the Bible now. Now, that's why we read it. We know we have both sides to that. You know what I'm saying? We have the parable side. But we can also come back and keep reading down. We have the luxury of reading down and reading what was written on the other side for the understanding, right? So you're taking people and you say, look, I teach you the Bible now that you're reading the Bible, and you get both sides. But the problem is there's still, even today, we still fall on, the truth still falls on deaf ears. It'll still, we'll look and we're not, when we first come in, we just caught up in the fact that, man, I'm learning the Bible. Christ is black, we the Jews, the Most High's coming to save us, man, I'm there, 100% in. I don't really understand what I have. I don't really understand the depth of how deep this is going to go. I don't understand how I'm going to be tried, tested, anything else. It was just a kind of that joy to have it. Or, you know, all we thought was, man, you know what? Christ coming back, we're going to be saved. So all the rest of the in-between, we wasn't prepared to live the in-between. We came in thinking, okay, I got the truth. I'm going to keep the commandments. Christ coming back. We go into the kingdom. for all the suffering and everything else that comes in between, those things kind of fell on deaf ears, if that makes sense.
Huh.
Now, Gabar, now read on. Let's read on.
Con, Matthew chapter 13 and verse.
Thank you, Quan.
Yes. In verse 12.
Uh-huh.
You want me to read 11 again? I'll do that.
Just wherever you were.
Okay.
You can read 11. That's fine.
So Matthew chapter 11 and verse, chapter 13 and verse 11 reads, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance.
Uh-huh.
But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath."
So stop there. Stop just there. He said, if you have, and he was talking to the apostles, right? He said, to him that, it says, to him, whosoever hath, it says, to him shall be given. The wisdom, the understanding, the teaching. If I know that all this book, this is what I have, the most likely the only thing that was going to happen to you is that there was going to be more given to you. He said, and he shall have more abundant because of what was invested in me, right? Because of what was taught to me. He said, the Most High only, Christ only let them know that because of what you guys have, because of the understanding that has been given to you, because of that knowledge that was invested and built in you, planted in you, he said the only thing that's going to happen to that type of person is that person is going to be given more abundant, right? If we read the same thing, right? He says, but whosoever have not, for the ones who did not make the same type of investment, they didn't want to submit to the development like the apostles submitted to that development of Christ. You have great men in this truth that gave their life to submitting to that investment of the Bible, of the Word, of the training, of the developing. The one thing that's promised to them is more abundant. And then for the ones that did not want to now make that same investment, to them, he said, who else have not? From him shall be taken away even that he hath. I'm going this route because it's showing us the importance of one thing, that the development and the things that we're supposed to be learning, you're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here allowing this word in this Bible to dwell in us richly. That means somebody took the time and they invested in the development of that man or that woman. We look at today and how we try to develop ourselves from the internet. You know, we want to be self-taught, right? We want to be self-taught. We want to be on the next man's level. And we figure out, you know what? We figure if we just practice, if I get on and I just start me a show, Shabbat, I start a show, and now I'm up here and I'm breaking it down the way I heard Mashaba break it down. So I listen for your breakdown because I'm trying to mimic how you broke it down.
Okay.
And I believe that because I sit at a table now and I can now break it down the way you break it down, there's an investment that's been in me. And you know from a brother that's been in this truth all this time from happening from Albuquerque to California to New York, from Albuquerque to New York back to California, then sent out to Oklahoma, Florida, San Antonio. There was an investment that was put into every brother that went through that stage. There was an investment that was put into that man down there in every place. Now, to me, something I was telling you earlier, to me, I understood the value of the road crew. All of us did. When the road crew was rolling, there was a value to that. Because every place you went to, every camp, and I'm saying in the beginning, every small little camp, when you went to that place, there was an investment that was poured into you, right? When you came to Albuquerque, that's where the TQM and Eastern Oils, there it is. When brothers came there, there was an investment that was poured into that man when he got there. When you got to Cali, you got to go through the street speaking, you got to go through the radio shows, but there was an investment that was poured into you when you got to that place.
Okay.
And then even to the point, it makes me take my mind back to a brother like a War or a brother like, what's the brother's name, man? What was Kobe's name, man?
Rapah.
Brothers that at one point, the men that got shipped out, shit, even myself, I was from Albuquerque. In the 90s, it was like I was in Albuquerque until about 94. Then all of a sudden they shipped me to Cali for a while. I got to experience. That's when, I forgot the name of the security spot. It was still TQM somewhat, but they was setting up the SWAT meet out there. Then I had to be up under the Gaia and them dealing with street speaking at Venice. You know what I'm saying? Or going to the marching that they were doing out there also. So when you was in Albuquerque, you had to march in Albuquerque. You had the flea market. So in every place, there was an opportunity for an investment to be in that man. And when we come to New York, we only get a little bit of the investment that you guys got to really experience when you were there. So I'm going here because I'm going to show any man or woman the fact that you keep yourself isolated to your home. The one thing that you're doing is there's an investment that could be now built or not, not say built, but there could be an investment in that person that I'm cheating myself of receiving that investment because I believe that is just, if I just hear the word, that was going to be enough. But the experiences and the things that you watch the Spirit do, there are things that happen at Street Speaking Mashava that you couldn't even explain. You couldn't explain to a person if you tried.
Okay.
As I said, you had to have been there. There are things that have happened in Albuquerque that we watched from being on TQM to everything else that I couldn't even explain to you. You had to have been there. There's things in Cali. We're on the beach and you watch from cats going through the scripture, man, and having dudes kiss your boot. You're like, no, what the hell? Like, I couldn't teach that. You had to be there to experience it. Point I'm making is those were our experiences. That those are the investments and the things in the Spirit that we experienced that built our faith and our confidence and our belief in this word, in this truth. Every man and woman, that when I'm a part of the body and I'm around the body, there are experiences that I'm going to now have to experience that build my faith, my belief in the body and in the Most High, in this word. The truth is not something that's read. The truth is something that's lived. When we're going here, we're starting to show that there were people that got taught. I heard the word. And there were men that lived this word. And the ones that lived the word had a great understanding what was given to them because they lived this word. And then they were going to be the ones that were going to receive more abundantly because they lived the word rather than just hearing it. Now, Gabar, do me a favor. I want you to read verse 13 now.
Come. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13 reads, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not."
Stop. It says, because they what?
Seeing see not.
But how can you see what you're reading? How can you see Christ, but you don't see him? What does that mean? How are they seeing, but they don't see? Or hearing, but they don't hear. It's like something that you hear, you're in class.
It's like they're going through the motion of, yeah, they see Christ, but the understanding is not there. So they're not understanding what they see. Or they're hearing, but they're not understanding what they're hearing.
So I like the point you're making. You hear it, but you don't really understand. You hear and see it. You're reading it. You read it. Okay, I see what it's saying, but I haven't lived what it's saying, if that makes sense. The disciples were living what it was saying rather than just hearing what it's saying. Keep reading real fast. Read on.
Con. So because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand.
Go ahead. Well, listen. Hold on real quick. Now jump down to verse 15.
Con. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15 reads, "For this people's mind or heart is waxed gross."
He said this people's mind or their heart is waxed gross, right? Now, somebody look up the word gross.
Gotcha.
Look up gross. The other person can look up waxed. He said their mind is waxed gross.
From the Webster's 1828 dictionary for the word gross, I got definition number one, thick, bulky. Definition number two, coarse, rude, rough, not delicate.
But I like you said, you know what I have myself once about wax gross? Where gross meant stupid.
Con.
But it said these people's heart, when they were waxed, it's...
Oh, well, matter of fact, that is definition number 10, stupid and dull.
Tell me. But it's like Christ saying this people's mind is stuck on stupid. For this people's mind, their heart, their mind is waxed gross. You know, the waxed is just stuck. It's when you wax something...
I have the definition for
read it.
Con. What's going on here?
Damn. That we can stay there. I can live with that one definition. it's like saying their mind is thick with stupidity. I can live with just that one definition. Because what it's going to show, what it's trying to help us understand is that, yes, you are hearing the word, but you have so much other, you have so many other things stuck in your head. You have so many things that they're not worth anything. It's like you give your mind to a lot of other stupidity. But Christ knew that back then with them. And these people's mind is just thick with stupidity. It's just dull. It's where their mind is at. They're reading, but they ain't getting it. They're hearing me, but they're not trying to understand. They have too many other things in their head.
Why? Okay. Con, with the, another waxed, because wax, W-A-X, means to grow. Waxed is stunted.
It's like they're stuck.
Yeah. It's a thick layer causing a decrease in growth.
So you understand, it's what my mind is. My mind is stuck in stupidity. It's stuck on dull. It's given to everything but what I'm saying. They can't hear me. I'm starting to realize the one thing, this truth is not read. This truth is lived. The apostles were living the truth because they were with Christ the whole time. Not just I got the understanding of that parable, but all the things that he was doing, I got to see that environment. It was an environment that was built, that if I'm a part of this environment, I am going to become fruitful. I am going to now do great things because I was a part of that environment. If it was the blog talk, if it was the literature, if it was the street speaking, if it was the business that was going on, if it was classes and radio shows, and if I was a part of that environment, and I was invested in those environments, then the thing that would happen to me is I would become fruitful. I would be 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, because I was a part of that environment. But because my mind has been everywhere else, yes, I'm in class. Yes, I'm reading the Bible. But I read it, but I've given myself to everything but investing in to the work, to the things around me. We all pass that literature. I'm going to clear my mind and pass the literature out. Because that's my investment. Nothing else is in my mind but doing this. Christ said, we going here. We're going to Galilee. Okay. They went up and got up and went to Galilee. That was the only thing on my mind is what it is you told us we need to go do. The rest of the people weren't like that. The ones that followed Christ were really like that. Their life and their mind was dedicated to whatever it is he said they was going to do. He went and did it. And I'm saying it that way, Art, because you can see the different caliber of men that were on the road crew and that investment every day into the work. And not just the road crew, you're in the camps. You had brothers that had a real dedication to getting up every morning. If the camp was going out the street speaking, they was the ones getting up, getting out there and doing it. It was lived every day. I could remember Thawam and Zion and the brothers that was in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Seeing whenever it was Michelle, whenever it was the flea market, them brothers was out there grinding with it. When it was street speaking, getting the books, getting everything ready, getting the horn, going out there. They would go from downtown, over the overlook.
Yeah.
It's the overlook at night. Put that investment in. Then getting up and having to go to Sawgrass Mills or having to go to the flea market, having to be in class. But all of that was forging, it forged the type of character that that man had. So I'm thinking about those things, and I'm like, from the people that made these type of investments, the most artists said there was more that was coming to them. These are the people that were going to receive. It shall be given to them more abundantly. A lot of times, and I'm going to shop because a lot of times we don't see the significance in the investment that we make. We run through our minds, oh, it's a waste of time. Well, look what I have now. You know what I'm saying? But it's really hard to see that investment because my investment every day was the work. And I remember I got more and more testimonies I can pull from of those dedications. And that dedication, and that dedication, and that dedication. Every day, they were dedicated. It was just about the work. It was about the work. So it's like I'm reading it. It's like Christ, like telling them, "That's not forgotten." For the ones that did not make that investment, they have more in the world because that was where their mind was. We read the parable of the rich man, not the parable. We read the story of the rich man that came to Christ. And told Christ,
what God do it to inherit eternal life?
Yeah, man. Christ told him, sell all you have and follow me. Peter and the rest of them gave up everything and followed, right?
Okay.
So he was letting them know, yes, okay, I'm not telling you that you got it here. I know that you sacrificed. But the sacrifice to the investment that you've made, what was going to be given to you, you were going to have more abundant. That is a part of your blessing, is the fact that you were willing to make those types of sacrifice, to make that life sacrifice. That's where your blessing was coming from. But for the ones that don't do the same thing, is because they hear, but they don't hear. They don't understand how great the reward is to the ones that made that sacrifice. They don't see how great the reward is to the ones that make that sacrifice because in their eyes and from them being so engulfed in the world, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see how great the reward is.
Okay.
Read on, Gabar. Now, I want you to read. Now, Gabar, go back and read read 15 again, all right?
Fine. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15 reads, "For this people's mind or heart is waxed gross,
read,
and their ears are dull of hearing.
Go ahead.
And their eyes they have closed."
Their eyes, they did what?
Closed.
Because when you look at this, you look at it in all of it, when it was time to live it, my mind is somewhere else. When it was time to really hear what he's saying, and it's like someone said, okay, follow me. Christ kept telling the apostle, the first one, Christ said, follow me. Well, if you want to be perfect, follow me. I heard him, but I ain't going that direction. I'm not willing to make them sacrifices. I see him, but I'm not willing to follow. I don't want to have no place to lay my head. I don't want to be walking and traveling city to city. I don't want to leave my business. I don't want to leave my comfort. I hear, see, and understand what it requires, but I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
Read on.
Con, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their mind or heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
For I'm reading this. I'm going that route. I didn't stop you, because what made this man blessed is they went and did. They took action after they heard. There are a lot of people that are stupid. They never took no action. There are a lot of people that's truth bender that have just tried to find a seat at the top. And they think, well, if I open the Bible and I'll be a teacher, and I got the breakdowns, I went and wrote down all these breakdowns, now I got up and I went and taught these breakdowns. This is why I'm at this seat. And not realizing, though, the only thing that got them to the point that they were at was the investment. Somebody invested into their development. Every day somebody was riding me, correcting me. It was an investment to their development. But they had to be willing to hear. They had to be willing to understand. And they had to be willing to be converted. I'm willing to now look at the word convert.
Got you.
You got it, Michelle?
I can't find it right now. I'm sorry, my eyes are killing me.
No, bro. Good morning.
Can you get it? I got it. In the Webster's 1828, definition number one is in a general sense, turning or change from one state to another.
So you have to be willing to change from one state to another. These men, the most I can understand, this person's truly been converted. Because they allowed someone to work on them. I allowed someone to change me. And a lot of us don't want to be changed. When we came into the truth, we understood that that was what was required. That was the expectation. That if I'm going to invest in you, you're going to change. From the push-ups to the runs in the park, to your wardrobe, to your hair, to your beard. You are going to be unrecognizable. In the same city you in, I don't recognize you, man. You tripped on people when they said, man, what happened? See what happened to you, man? You was at the club all the time. Now you ain't here. You was in suits. Now you in fringes. You stayed in the barbershop. I ain't seen you in the barbershop in years, man. It was a willingness to change. But I allowed someone to now, I invest. They worked on changing me. Now we think that because I'm reading the Bible, that's enough. And we're realizing even then that wasn't enough. Christ required the change so you could be healed. He said, but blessed are your eyes that you see and you hear. So for the apostles, it was a blessing because they were willing to allow themselves to be changed, to be converted, not just being those ones that I heard and I got the miracle, all of it, but I really didn't understand because there was nothing different about me. I never allowed the work. I never allowed Christ or anyone to invest into my change and to invest into making me different, making a different man, no investment in that. So we 17 now.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 17 reads, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them."
They did what?
They desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them.
There are a lot of people in this truth that have, they desire, they wish the Most High would work with them the way some brothers have been worked with. They wish they could have experienced the things, some of the things that other men have experienced, and they have not experienced them. Read.
Con, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
And to be a part of some of the councils that have went on in Israel over the years and have not heard them. To be in the room with some of the elders that was dropping straight wisdom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And have not heard them. But they look at themselves as prophets. Christ said, "For many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things, and they'll never see it. They have the experiences that they'll never experience." That's power. He's showing them this is what was given to you for your sacrifice. This is what I gave you. Read on.
Fine. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18 reads, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower."
Now I'm going to give you this gem. Go ahead.
"When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." I didn't hear you.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Okay, "but when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his mind or heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside."
You know, I like what we're reading here. Is this somebody that heard the word of the kingdom? It means I know what it requires. I'm reading. Somebody told me the requirement for me to make it to the kingdom, and I didn't submit to it. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how valuable that dedication was. Then somebody came along and told me I didn't have to make those sacrifices. You will make it to the kingdom. Somebody told me I was the chosen of the Most High. Somebody told me that, you know what, you don't need a camp. You can get this at home. All you got to keep the law, that's commandments of the Most High. Somebody sowed in the new generation individuals that they don't have to sacrifice. They don't have to convert. They don't have to invest. But you ain't got to take a soldier's test for Shabbat. You ain't got to take an officer's test. You ain't got to none of that.
True.
See, as long as... And they tell you the Most High blessing you. You got a good job, the Most High blessing you, all right. And you got a nice home, the Most High blessing you, bro. So that's that old way of doing it. Brothers leaving their home and doing it. That was the old way. That was like that's what Christ then did.
God.
They would be the example of the road crew. All the apostles or his disciples that he was getting ready to send out two by two. This was the work of the Most High to go out and get this word spread. And there was a time and the truth that was the focus.
Okay.
What camps got hooked up? If a camp was from a street speaking corner, there was one set up. The school was set up. And the camps were set up. That was being spread out. All of a sudden, of that seed of you are doing enough because you're just learning, that has taken away a person's opportunity to make it to the kingdom. They just don't know it yet. Because the disciples had to go out. They had to sacrifice, give up, lose, follow Christ. They weren't setting up their own business. They weren't doing all those things. They actually left that.
God.
To get that gem. But somewhere somebody was shown the same thing, and they chose. I chose to let that evil one, that negativity, all the things that tell you you don't have to do something, be told to me, and it's taken away this person's opportunity to make it to the kingdom. Read on.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20 reads, but he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself.
He hath not what?
He hath not root in himself.
It's like a person that's double-minded. I got the truth, and I see. It's like that brother that I see, man, what it requires. I see. Man, I know this is what I got to do, but I'm double-minded. There's so much to lose. There's so much to, man, no one's going to leave me, man, if I do this.
Right.
Oh, bro, man, where we going to live at? What we going to eat? Where we going? You know what I'm saying? How you know this is the right move? You know how much comfort I'm going to give up? It's just not rooted in me, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not rooted in. I'm not convinced. So what happens if that person is not convinced?
Fine. But dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word,
so when my comfort, my woman's tripping, I may lose my home, when all this hits me because this is what Christ said was going to hit me, because he told me, like he told the rich man, sell all that you have, follow me. But when the reality and all the things hit me, by and by what?
By and by, he is offended.
Now my comfort got hit. How is this the truth? Shoot, my woman is leaving me. How am I doing the right thing? Look at what you're telling me to give up, man. My bills is getting in. They repo on my car. I'm losing. How can this be the right? How can this be the spirit? But from all those things, by and by he was offended. Go ahead.
Time.
This is the one who had no root in himself.
Right.
So the scriptures, this person was getting taught the scriptures, but they took no root. It was just all surface. I'm losing words. It's like church.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to church. I'm going to church every Sunday. So the fact that I'm going to church every Sunday, I'm supposed to have everything that I want.
Right.
I'm supposed to get everything I want because I just say the name of Jesus. But that's somebody who's taking. They're not taking this. The scriptures are not really taking root in them. That when as problems come up, as things come up, they're going back through the scripture and saying, "Hold up, it was said this is going to happen. So if this is happening, I bet now my belief and faith in the scriptures is that much more stronger." As opposed to, okay, I know I'm in, like going back to that person in church.
Right.
I'm going to the Baptist church. But as I'm going through things, I'm not going to turn to the scriptures for help. I ain't going to turn to the scriptures for comfort. I'm going to go ahead. I need to get me another degree because what I'm doing, I need to come up with another solution to help me through my problems instead of turning to the scriptures. I need to come up with some therapy. I need to come up with some drugs. I need to come up with something else besides going deeper into the scriptures. I just go with, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm an Israelite, and that's it. But now in actually dealing with things that come up, things that arise, I don't really go to the scriptures and see, hold up, man, this is what David went through. So if this is what David went through and this is how he handled it, I can handle it the same way. It's not a Romans 15:4 where it says things written aforetime written for our learning. Mm-hmm. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope that I'm going to get patience and comfort through the scriptures. Like I can go and see where feels like Joe, when I'm being betrayed by everybody, I can go back and see where Joseph was like, damn, my own brothers sold me into captivity. My own brothers sold me into slavery for profit. First, these guys wanted to kill me, but then Judah, of all the brothers, said, "No, we can sell him. We can make some money." So they sold me.
Come on, lad.
Where we can be going through experiences and going through things where we're facing similar things, but we don't turn back to the scriptures and to have the scriptures take root in us. That you know what. And then go back and read about, okay, what did the prophets go through? What was the life of the prophets? What kind of things did they did they go through? That, damn, if I'm following Christ, I'm following Most High, that if this tribulation comes up, this problem comes up, like if I can give another example, it says, I'm coming in to the truth and to this knowledge, and now we don't do Christmas no more. And in not doing Christmas no more, like Christ said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For a man's foe should be David's own household. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. But now, because if I'm only taking the surface, all right, Christ is black, cool. It's about the Israelites, all right, cool. But now, when I stop celebrating Christmas, now I got my people, my family coming against me. I'm like, hold on, what is this? Y'all ain't supposed to come against me. And now, because the family don't agree with me, I'm an Israelite, but you know what? I'm still going to do Christmas because we're supposed to all just get along still. We're supposed to be at peace. I can't understand why my dad's coming at me, why my mom's coming at me, why my wife is coming at me. I can't understand why I'm having all these problems. This must not be the right way. As opposed to Christ said this is going to happen. A man's foes are going to be the of his own household. It's not taking root. I hope that helps.
It helped big time, Mike. It helped big time because that woman Thomas said, it helps perfectly. Where you at, Gabar? Where you at? Read that again now.
We're in Matthew 13:22 now.
22?
Yeah, because we read 21. 21 is, yet hath he not moved himself. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, like when Machado was talking about, well, I'm not celebrating Christmas anymore, and I don't understand why my family's coming up against me.
Exactly.
So by and by, I'm getting offended because my family is coming against me because of the word.
Perfect.
And so now I'm offended, and now I don't want to. Now I'm going to go back to what is not offensive.
And read 22. Now read 22.
Con. So he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
So So I want you to hold that real quick, God, and I'm going to read this. This is Ecclesiastes in Apocrypha chapter 7, right? And it says, I'm going to start at verse 3, right? And the reason I'm reading this, because your brother have come on this truth, and I did get the word, but I cared about the world, and I was deceived because I thought that the riches was what I was supposed to be receiving, the blessings. I was supposed to receive that, and it did choke the word. I became unfruitful because I thought that's what this was about, rather than what I'm reading, that the sacrifices and the dedication and the things that you give up, that's what this truth is supposed to have been about. But let me read this. My son, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 3. My son, sow not upon the furrows of unrighteousness, and thou shalt not reap them sevenfold. Seek not of the Lord preeminence, neither of the king the seat of honor. Justify not thyself before the Lord, and boast not of thy wisdom before the king. So I'm reading this because I'm looking at, these are some of the places, this is the riches that I sowed upon. I should be the head. Think not of the Lord. I'm supposed to be the head. Please, now I want to be the head of my own over here. Well, that wasn't the mind of Christ. That wasn't the mind of disciples. He didn't have disciples in that mind. How you have them leaving, not what they were trying to now build on. I mean, I'm building on getting this house, and I want to build on getting this car, and I want to build on having this, that. Because by me building there and doing this, this is what the truth is supposed to be bringing to me. Because as soon as you start to lose, or you don't get that rank, or you don't get that position, or now you're not in that position, will I still do the work? Or was I only here for those things? Because even in this truth, we're still going to get tested the same way. If Christ told the rich man to leave everything he had, or the men that, like we saw the scripture, the men that followed Christ, and he told them, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have no place to lie in pen.
Right.
So if you think this is what you're going to receive, this you're in the wrong place. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, right?
God.
So when it came to that point, it's like some of them left. That's not a level I'm willing to go to. There are many brothers deceived because they think that this is about having for my own. I'm going to go get my own camp. I had that motivation and dedication and everything else because I thought that I was going to have my own camp. I thought that I was going to have a big house. I thought I was going to have a car and all these, a woman and everything else. So I was only here for those things. That choked the word. I became unfruitful. I stopped trying to go out and heal and help and everything else because I didn't come for the fulfillment of helping the next person. I was here because I was looking for that leadership. I wanted to now put on the big garment. I wanted to be the guy sitting on the podium. Shammai, brothers, I wanted to be that guy. I want to be the dude behind the camera showing everybody I know something, too. I know something.
Time.
I can be deep. I can do what he do. I didn't want to be the guy that
really had to come in here and do all of the sacrificing? That's not what I came in for. But that's a man that's when the word has fell on this man. He planted himself in the wrong type of ground. That's a person that was going to become unfruitful. You're here all for the wrong things. You're only going to be unfruitful. You're more worried about make sure your bills are paid in this world. You're also more worried about what's in your bank account. And you think that's wisdom. You choke the word. The true understanding of what this is about, you're choking that out, and you're becoming unfruitful. That's why there's no growth. Verse 23.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23 reads, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
So these are ones that they received the word on good ground. That means they heard the word and they understood it. Like, say, I understood the assignment. And they went and they bared fruit. They went out and in this place, we woke up, brothers. We built a school here. We went out and we did work here. We went out and we woke up men. You look at it. You look at this brother, the dedication that it took to go out and now it's an investment in the other men. That investment in other men is a man that really got this word on good ground. He got it with a good understanding of what this is going to require, what was important. Because a lot of people have not received this word and understood what was going to be required. Hold that real quick, Gabar. Hold that. I want you to go real quick to Second Ezra real quick now, right? I'm going to Second Ezra.
Second Ezra.
Chapter 4.
Okay.
I want you to start verse 28.
Con. Second Ezra in the Apocrypha, chapter 4 and verse 28.
Hold on one second. One second. Hold on, let me go up just a little bit. Start at verse 27, bro.
Con. Second Ezra in the Apocrypha, chapter 4 and verse 27 reads, "And cannot comprehend the things that are promised to the righteous in time to come."
I'm sorry, 26.
Con.
This is a bad chapter, right?
So 2 Ezra chapter 4, starting at verse 26.
And you're going to read down to what I put down? 31. That's all I'm going to go through. We read down 31.
Cut. The 2 Ezra chapter 4 in the Apocrypha in verse 26. Read, "Then answered he me and said, the more thou searchest, the more thou shalt marvel. For the world hasteth fast to pass away, and cannot comprehend the things that are promised to the righteous in time to come.
You know?
For this world is full of unrighteousness and infirmities.
That's why you look at now the cares of this world, they choke the word. Because you're trying to hold on. You got these are men, these are people that were trying to hold on to something that was unrighteous, something that was going to pass away, something that was going to die. You're sitting here trying to hold on and fight for a piece of something that's going to burn. Probably, can I just get a house? Is that too much to ask? Can I get a car? Is that too much to ask? Can I have a woman? Or can I get a husband?
Okay.
So that we can raise our kids and we can all live out the American dream? You don't realize that you're a person that cannot, you lack understanding. You lack understanding because you can't comprehend the things that are promised to the righteous. You didn't understand. Damn, if you give this up, this is what you're going to get. There are some men that truly understood what was to come and was ready to make every sacrifice because they understood what was coming. But there's some that, because I'm trying to hold on to this world, I can't comprehend that. Read 27 again.
Con, 2 Ezra chapter 4 and verse 27 in the Apocrypha reads, and cannot comprehend the things that are promised to the righteous in the time to come, for this world is full of unrighteousness and infirmities.
Go ahead.
But as concerning the things whereof thou askest me, I will tell thee, for the evil is sown, but the destruction thereof is not yet come.
Oh.
If therefore that which is sown be not turned upside down, and if the place where the evil is sown pass not away, then cannot it come that is sown with good.
So we're looking at, we're waiting for our kingdom to come, right? That's the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This world is wicked. And the Father, like, if you're trying to hold on to a piece of this, or you're trying to look to be the king here, you want the preeminence here, this place has to be destroyed. You're trying to make sure you have a home and a car and a wife or a husband here? You're like, man, you might as well go on to work because this place has to be turned upside down. This place has to be destroyed so that we can be sown in righteousness. Read on. Where you at?
2 Ezra chapter 4 and verse 30. Which reads, for the grain of evil seed hath been sown in the mind or heart of Adam from the beginning. And how much ungodliness hath it brought up unto this time?
Read.
And how much shall it yet bring forth until the time of threshing come?
Read.
Ponder now by thyself how great fruit of wickedness the grain of evil seed have brought forth.
So you gotta look at the thing you're trying to fight to establish yourself in. The wisdom that you're trying to hold on to, the things that you want that would give a man praise. He said this place has been sown in wickedness from the beginning. This is something that was sown in the heart of Adam from the beginning, even till now. We're trying to now last, get in this work and be saved, or wait for Christ to come back so the Most High can establish his kingdom. We're not trying to establish something that was already built on wickedness from the time of Adam.
Yeah.
This is about understanding the men that have been on that good ground. I understood that this is about getting out here and waking up my people. I'm not trying to develop some type, trying to establish myself in something that was built on wickedness. It was how many more schools we could open, how many more camps we could open, how many more people we could wake up from this wicked environment. That's what this is about. Hold out now. Go to 2nd Ezra real quick now. That same, jump out to chapter 9. All right? And I want you to start at verse 31.
Fine. 2nd Ezra is in the Apocrypha, chapter 9 and verse 31. Reads, "For behold, I sow my law in you, and it shall bring fruit in you, and ye shall be honored in it forever."
Read that one more time. I'm sorry. Read up. Read 30.
Con. 2nd Ezra chapter 9 and verse 30 reads, "And thou spakest, saying, Hear me, O Israel, and mark my words, thou seed of Jacob. For behold, I sow my law in you, and it shall bring fruit in you."
So and if we kept the laws, and we just kept holding on to what we've learned, he said it was going to bring forth fruit in you. You was going to grow. You were going to now do more for Israel. Because of what was in you. That's that man that is sown on good ground. He heard the words. He understood. This is what's sown in me. And it shall bring forth fruit in you. And you shall be honored in it forever. Go ahead.
On. 2nd Ezra chapter 9 and verse 32 reads, "But our fathers, which received the law, kept it not, and observed not thy ordinances. And though the fruit of thy law did not perish, neither could it, for it was thine."
He said, go ahead.
"Yet they that received it perished."
Read that one more time.
"Yet they that received it perished."
Why?
Because they kept not the thing that was sown in them.
You see the point now, right?
Huh.
We watch more and more brothers and sisters perish because they didn't hold on to what was being shown to them. They didn't truly understand. But this is... Even Ezra was saying, that was something that had been there. We are going to be surviving because I'm holding on to what was sown in me. My motivation, my understanding, me going out and continue to do the things that I know to do is what's going to keep me from not perishing, for not dying in this wicked world. But we keep falling off because as soon as somebody else does something to me, or as soon as somebody else stops doing it, all of a sudden now, because of my condition or my situation, this is why I'm not doing what was sown in me. I perish. I'm just going to perish. What verse is that? Is that in that, in the 33?
Con.
From there, I want you to read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 now, real quick. Kind of rolling through a little bit.
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 9.
And what?
Verse
the son of his father.
Con. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 5, reads, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren.
Exhort the brethren. Go ahead.
That they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness.
Right.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Go ahead.
Every man according as he proposeth in his mind or heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Most High loveth a cheerful giver.
But now we're looking at the gift. I always read this, like, and for some reason, brother, this was always, this was the strongest thing about church. This is why giving that collection plate.
Right.
He's talking about that sacrifice. I'm dedicated to the work. He said, how much, if this was the apostles, or if this was Paul and the people, that the brothers that wrote with him, they was out there doing it. I'm going to keep sacrificing bountifully. If I'm going to sacrifice sparingly and I'm just going to be a student in class, then you only get sparingly. But if I'm willing to make big sacrifices, then you will receive big. You know what I'm saying?
Con.
Go ahead, read it.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 reads, and the Most High is able to make all grace abound toward you.
Read that again.
And the Most High is able to make all grace abound toward you.
Damn, the Most High, like, because of the level of giving, because of the level of dedication, because of the level of sacrifices, the Father's like, man, he's able to make all grace abound towards you, go your way. Read.
Con. That ye always having a sufficiency in all things may abound.
That ye always having all efficiency in
sufficiency.
All things.
Sufficiency.
So what's sufficient? Enough?
Yeah.
Con.
That you always have enough in all things. Efficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The level of debt, the level that I give, the work that I do, it's always going to come good to me because of the work. That sufficient comes to the work. So I'm not getting what's sufficient is because I'm not using it for the work. If I'm adding to this, brothers, please let me know.
No doubt.
So that's why I'm seeing it. There are a lot of people that aren't getting, well, if I'm not getting what is I want, was it for the work? Was it for good work? Was I'm trying to create my own thing. And I'm mad because the Most High's not blessing me because you folks are trying to create your own thing. Was it about the work?
Okay.
Where you at? Read on.
I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9.
Thank you. I messed up. Go ahead.
So Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9 reads, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever.
You know what I like about that? They put that in parentheses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that means if you took out the parentheses, these would have been the things that they would have considered to be good works. He have dispersed abroad. He have given to the poor. His righteousness is good forever. It was the people I was helping. It was the people that I went out and I helped other people. I wasn't just focused on taking care of me. Read 10.
Con, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10 reads, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown.
Read that again. Read that again.
Con, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown.
I think we have to read 9 and 10 together, right?
Con.
This feeling of person in the spirit of giving. It says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I'm stopping it just for a second, because if you look at where we're supposed to be growing or where the blessing was, it was the work. It was the fact that there's more righteousness that speaks for you. The camp, was opening in Miami. There was a camp in Oklahoma. There was a camp in California. There was a camp in New Mexico. Those camps in Texas, those are things that speak. That's righteousness that speaks for a man. Not, there was a home. He had a home, he had a big house in Miami. He had a big house in California. He had a big house in Oklahoma. He had a big house and a nice car and a business. Those are things that speak for the world. What verse you at?
Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to the Most High.
Which causeth through who?
Through us.
Through us, through the work and the sacrifices that we do, they cause thanksgiving up to the people that people come and they thank the Father. There's a blessing that the Most High sent this brother with this wisdom or this brother with this answer. People come back and now there'll be a brother or sister that'll come praise the Father. I don't know what I would have done, but the water you helped, because you helped me. You helped me. I don't know what I would have done in this situation, but the water you helped, you sent someone to help me.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. Reads, for the administration of the service.
I'm sorry, for the what?
For the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto the Most High.
This is for the administration of this service, for us going out and helping, for the people that we try to come out and wake up, for us now going out setting up schools and spreading this gospel out. Supplies not only, it says service, it says not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto the Most High. Read.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13 reads, whiles by the experiment of the ministration.
While by the what?
Experiment of this administration, they glorify the Most High for your professed subjections unto the gospel of Yahweh Shai, or of Christ.
So what is it saying? That this is an experiment? Of this administration, they glorify. That means, you know, somebody tried. Somebody went on and tried it.
Or tested.
I tested. Because you was tested. Because of what you had to. Is it like saying, for what a brother would have to endure, right?
Kind.
They glorify the Most High for your professed subjection. Because you subjected yourself to the gospel of Christ, they glorified the Most High. That's bad. Reading Gabor says, and for your liberal
distribution unto them and unto all men.
Yeah. So that means the word went out.
And you were liberal. You were liberal, meaning
dispersing.
You gave it to everyone that you could.
Just giving.
Say it again?
Just giving.
You couldn't stop giving. From your giving to them and unto all men. Read verse 14.
And by their prayer for you.
And that by their prayer for who?
For you, long after you, for the exceeding grace of the Most High in you. Thanks be unto God. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of the Most High in you.
And by their prayer for you, which long after you, they want you, right?
Right.
For the exceeding grace of the Most High is in you. It wasn't about read 15. Thanks be unto the Most High for his unspeakable gift. What was the gift? What was the gift to them?
The gift was the Most High, but it was through us, or in this thing.
You were the gift. You
were the gift.
The gift. In this, the one that gave, you were the gift. You were the help that they needed, that this person needed. If it's a person going through it with his wife, and you gave them some words of encouragement, or you counseled with them, or you talked, you were the gift to them from the Most High. From there. Hold on, from there. Hold on. I got a couple more. I'm going to close this out because it's starting to get worked up in here. Let me get one more, Gabar.
Todd, I got you.
Ecclesiastes, in the pox for now?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, yeah, go to here's a Dorali. Yeah, Ecclesiastes chapter 26. There was a couple I wanted to read, but it's Ecclesiastes now, right? Chapter 26. I'm trying to find where I'm going to, man. 26, get out of there. Got it. 26 and 20. Verse 20.
God, Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 26 and verse 20 reads, when thou hast gotten a fruitful possession through all the field, sow it with thine own seed, trusting in the goodness of thy stock.
Read it again.
Con, when thou hast gotten a fruitful possession through all the field, sow it with thine own seed, trusting in the goodness of thy stock.
Read on.
So thy race, which thou leavest, shall be magnified, having the confidence of their good descent.
I'm only reading this because he told you, man, when you have a good thing, when you've gotten, he said, when thou hast gotten a fruitful possession, it says through all the fields, sow it with thine own seed. I know this chapter is talking about real fruit, but if you look at, if I know that I have gotten a fruitful possession, I know that a brother dropped on me. He dropped on me the ability to do great things, to be fruitful. He said, you're supposed to sow it to thine own seed. You got to now take what was given to you out and then add your flavor into it now.
Okay.
You're supposed to add on to it. It says, trusting in the goodness of thy stock. You got to trust in what was invested in you. That's why I went to that scripture. That's a lot of times what we ain't doing. We're ready to leave what it is we've learned, what was passed on to us. All of a sudden now, this ain't the work of the Most High. You're right. The work of the Most High is the people that are touched. That's the work. The ones that are helped, that's the work. Thank you, man. That's what we're supposed to build on. You have men like that have gotten this word on good ground. It was, they were abundant. They were grown, but it's how a man is going to now got that word on good ground. And we can go back there, right? A man that's got that word on good ground, how does he go 20-fold, 30, 100-fold? Because I took the good fruit that I possessed, I took what somebody sown in me, and I added my seed to it. I trusted the goodness of that stock, and I built. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Tom.
It also goes back to the scripture where it said kept. That it was kept. And in the other scripture where the ones that didn't understand, they chose not to keep what was sown inside of them. Yeah,
they didn't see what value, but they didn't understand. They didn't see the value. They saw the value in the world, but they don't see the value of, you know what I'm saying, of the sacrifice, of the things that you learn. Now you get to take all that you learn and add new experiences that you went through and build even double. You get to build even more. Mark chapter 4 real quick now, right? Mark chapter 4. I'm trying to get right to the point. Mark chapter 4. We don't have to go to Mark chapter 4 because Mark 4 and Matthew 13 are basically the same thing, right? They both talk about the same parable of the sower. But I really didn't like going and reading this because it helped me understand it, man. A lot of times I think the problem with us in Israel is we get older in here. We don't realize the stock that we come from, right? We don't realize the things that have been built in a sock. You know what I'm saying? The things that we've learned, where you come from. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You come from this type of work, man. This is what was built and given. All the most, I'd like saying, take it. Take what's been invested in you. Take what's been invested in you. And now build on what new experience and new things that you've learned. We're supposed to add to what's been built. Bro, we're supposed to be out here. Listen, we have the ability, Mashaba, to do radio shows, cable shows, street speaking, from literature, street speaking to street speak, I mean, businesses. Camps, schools, look at the abundance that's there. The Father's like, okay, I'm just waiting for you to use it now.
Okay.
And for the, all of us out there that are sitting back thinking that I'm going to make it just because I'm reading. You have to go read the story, the parable of the talents, man. We were supposed to be in this truth, adding talents to ourselves. That means I had to invest. I had to allow someone to use me, teach me, add things to me so that now when I can take what was fruitful, the things that I learned from them, add it to myself so that now I can go and have a great stock. I need to now go and give myself to that foundation or that ground that's going to help me become fruitful. Or I'll be that man that's just doing a lot of reading. I'm going to keep being that person. I'm doing a lot of reading. But as this goes on, I promise you, you won't be there. You are not going to make it. You are not going to last. You're going to be that brother on the outside with a Hebrew name, or that sister on the outside going through all the things that I've gone with just a Hebrew name, or I went back to my Jake name. This is about the investment and then using what you've learned. You know, keep, we can, I know one thing I'm knowing about this too, Doc. We can run into a lot of brothers and sisters that got Hebrew names.
That's true.
They came in, got the name, and they got the word, but they no longer do the work. We can find a lot of those. I mean, a lot of those. Those are the ones that won't make, they don't understand how to make it to the kingdom.
But like Christ said, blessed are your eyes that they hear, or your blessed are your eyes they see, your
they
ears
see.
They hear. You're blessed because you do understand. You're the one that's going to make it to the kingdom because you understand. But you're a fool to understand and not do it.
True.
So I'm not going to hold this, man. It's about to be 10 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I'm glad we got to start pretty much on time. Not no real technical difficulty, but able to kind of help deliver, hopefully, a blessed message that will inspire others to dedicate themselves and then inspire some of us to rededicate ourselves. Let's go and get this work done, man, so we can get out of here. Because that's never not been the focus. It wasn't about diet here. It wasn't about leaving an inheritance on this earth for our kids. This place is defiled. This place is corrupt. This place is wicked. This is not the inheritance that we want to live for our kids. We want to make it to the kingdom so that can be for them. So with that, unless y'all have anything, Shalvin, or the
ball? Nah, brother, I'm good.
But
I'm gonna go with this song here. A little different from what we usually do.
Okay.
Doing the work, get the word out, let's do all the work. If they don't from in the dirt. We just call that doing the work. 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 No dope when I roll up. No kush when I roll up. I remember being locked up having weed. No famous terror faces out the bottom, just a roll up. Blasphemy. Yeah, I knew it was blasphemy. They were asking, have Jesus as your savior. I respond, man, I'd rather have a nigga down to blasphemy. Back when I had pride in my environment, I'm product of my environment. I ain't know no better. Ain't get a job, I'm a two-time felon. Tell my baby mama I'll be gone to November. Hell yeah, I remember. And when I read the scriptures, it help a dude to make sense of it. We've been convicted by a high like a book that's non-fiction. We the living got upset just since, so I'm back on the same old block. Got this new work, that's the same old rocks. Used to be a tape, but now a dude got locked. Only for the most high, and he ain't no cop. He put me down like they did Christ, but then they Pharisees. But it ain't no thing. I just do the work, city to city, just me the spirit. And I call it by name. Let's do the work. Get the word out, let's do all the work. If they don't accept a higher, leave them in the dirt. We just call that doing the work. Doing the work. If they don't accept a higher, leave them in the dirt. We just call that doing the work.